I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program, generations of Spartans have shouted the battle cry, Go Green! I'll pause now as you yell Go White at your radio. Now Michigan State University is turning that spirited athletic cheer into a clean energy choice. Yesterday, MSU announced that it has ceased burning coal at the T.B. Simon power plant on campus in favor of natural gas. The university says it made the switch for both environmental and economic reasons. The move is part of a larger energy transition plan MSU first created in 2012. Jackson-based Consumers Energy is supplying the new natural gas lines for the university, as well as helping with a big energy project on the horizon. Garrick Rochow is a vice president with Consumers Energy and its chief customer officer. I asked him what prompted Michigan State University to make the change.
But it really gets to a commitment by the university to have less carbon emissions, carbon footprint, and a reduction. And natural gas is a great way to do it. It's a 50% reduction in air emissions with natural gas versus burning coal.
What about the economic factors in play here? Are there economic reasons for this change as well?
Absolutely. Not only is it environmental, but natural gas is certainly less expensive. In part due to fracking, in part due to our purchasing strategies, we're one of the largest storage fields in the country, which allows us to purchase natural gas in the summer when it's low cost and provide it year-round to a lot of our customers. But certainly there's economics that make this a good choice for the university as well.
T.B. Simon Power Plant has a long history of burning coal. Is there any kind of cleanup that's required over there?
None that I'm aware of. Of course, from a consumer's energy perspective, we brought in the natural gas lines to serve that. We're also in the process of building a new substation as well to support not only the campus, but the facility for rare isotope beams.
Describe the substation for us, and when will it go online?
We're in the process of actual construction right now. We've been in the golf course here on campus, bringing some of the electric service into the substation. It's going to be over the next couple years that we'll provide that. But ultimately, the facility for rare isotope beams should be available for use in 2022. So we're preparing for that. And again, as kind of along the lines of environmental and gas generation, natural gas generation, the energy we supply through that substation will be greener and greener. We're expanding our use of renewable energies as a utility, as an energy company, and certainly the university is taking advantage of that as well.
But will the substation go online before 2022?
Oh, absolutely. The transformers will arrive this summer, late fall. We'll be putting those in place. We envision construction be complete in 2017.
We're talking about MSU's energy transition plan, which includes a complete shift from coal-fired electric generation to natural gas. My guest is Garrick Rochow, Vice President and Chief Customer Officer with Consumers Energy in Jackson. Consumers in the university are also working on storage battery technology, which is an ongoing challenge in the energy world. What's going on there?
Well, we're pleased. First part of April here, we announced the partnership, two-year partnership, to work with the university on the placement and study of batteries for storage with renewable resources like solar, like wind. It's intermittent in nature. And so really to be able to provide energy to our customers 24/7, we need to look at different options. And a lot of that can come through battery storage technology. It's in its early stages.
That's been one of the ongoing challenges here of renewable energy, as I understand, is storing the stuff for when you need it.
Absolutely. On a great sunny day, you may not need it. The wind blows a lot at night. The peak load is different toward midday. Those are real challenges with renewable resources, and the battery technology, as it grows here, and it is getting better, is a way to mitigate some of that.
This month, Consumers is shutting down what you call the Classic Seven. These are seven coal-fired power plants in the Lower Peninsula that stretch from Lake Michigan to Lake Erie. Just remind us which plants are closing and why.
Yeah, as you indicated, there's seven plants that are closing. A number of them are in Muskegon at our BC Cobb plant. There's a number in Luna Pier, which is just north of Toledo area at our Whiting plant. And there's a couple up in near Bay City, Essexville area that we're retiring. When we think about our environmental footprint, when we think about carbon emissions and air emissions, and frankly, some of the EPA requirements are driving us to close those units. You just can't put a number of environmental emissions controls equipment on the back end without having significant costs. And certainly we're sensitive to providing safe, reliable, and affordable, as well as sustainable energy for our customers. And so cost is a factor. Economics are a factor in that. But we're doing it with a sense of community. We're working with Muskegon, Luna Pier, the Essexville area to make sure that we do that in a smart way. How do we redevelop those sites? How do we clean up those sites? How do we make sure that the tax base that is leaving those communities is not a detriment to those areas?
What does it take to shut down a coal-fired power plant and not disrupt that service?
Well, the electric grid is what it is and provides energy for all. And that, when we do it smartly, when we plan for it, it allows us to be able to make sure that there's no impact in terms of, a daily thing. There is an energy supply component of that. We're losing 900 megawatts in the state out of, the necessary needs for Michigan. And so that creates some reliability concerns of where do you get the supply, but it doesn't create an immediate blackout situation for any of our customers. But there's a systematic way of shutting down a coal plant where you take it from a running condition, where you burn up all the coal that's on the site, where you bring it down and you bring it down in a safe manner. There's a lot of live electric, and certainly we don't want to hurt some of our personnel or the public in that. So there's what we call the cold and dark stage, where we bring down all the systems in a very controlled manner. And then after that, drain all the fluids so we don't have any environmental type events. And then we proceed with some type of demolition activities. Some of those are still being planned as we go across the state. But ultimately, once that site is clean and demolished, then it's the opportunity for reuse by the communities.
I have to ask you before you go what it's been like. I would love you to describe what it's been like to adjust to the dramatic price shifts in oil and natural gas that we have seen the last couple of years. The whole landscape has changed, largely related to fracking, hydraulic fracturing, there's a supply story, but there are providers getting out of the business now, letting wells run dry, all kinds of things that we probably couldn't possibly have anticipated, maybe even 5 years ago. What's it like adjusting to this new landscape?
Well, it certainly requires us to be, I guess, on our game and looking forward as a utility. And the dynamics seem to be changing faster than ever, specifically in terms of natural gas, as well as some of the renewables. And the renewables, certainly we've seen cost decrease on renewables. But specifically with natural gas, I mean, that fracking, as you indicated, has really changed over the last 5 to 8 years. And it is really where it is becoming a low-cost, cleaner source of energy that provides a lot of baseload energy for our state. And so we certainly see it as we look at retiring coal plants, that natural gas generation will provide some of that base, what we call base load, or the load that you count on every day when you turn on a switch to be there, even when it's cloudy out and when the wind's not blowing, to be there. And so that's the dynamic that plays out. And so we're continuously looking at ways how coal plays a role in our fleet, what natural gas, other renewables, and looking at a balanced mix of how do we meet the energy needs of the state.
Garrick Rochow has been my guest. Garrick is Vice President and Chief Customer Officer with Consumers Energy in Jackson. We've been talking about Michigan State University's energy transition plan, which includes a complete shift from coal-fired electric generation to natural gas. And we touched on a few other things as well. Garrick, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.